Stand with me, if you would, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And this morning, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 14. And then Pastor will be preaching a message, Who is this? Who is this? Taken from Matthew chapter 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and setting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put them on their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it the den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Father, for the truth of your word. Father, this morning, I thank you for our pastor. I thank you for his faithfulness, Lord, to the church, to the people of the church. But Father, for his faithfulness in preaching the word of God. Would you bless him this morning, anoint him with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, as we listen, Father, just give us ears to hear, hearts to obey what the man of God would have for us today from your word. And we thank you for all this, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Frank. What a blessed week it has been. To follow up on Brother David's comment, 8 dozen donuts, and I happened to find the one peanut butter one in the batch. For those of you who do not know, I do have a peanut allergy, and it was not a happy day. It was not a happy day at all, but it, I suppose, was my own fault. I think one of the most humorous things that comes out of that day for me is I had texted somebody that I know and love and trust, and perhaps I was trying to garner a little bit of sympathy as I was quite miserable for the entire day. I simply texted, well, discovered today that I am still allergic to peanuts. Waited for the reply. The reply came back. And you were supposed to be the smart one. Yep. Oh, but as good as this past week has been, I'm looking forward to what God has for us in this coming week as we look to celebrate the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection for us. And of course, this week is the Sunday before Easter, traditionally recognized as Palm Sunday, that day that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, rode into Jerusalem, the place of peace, and marked the beginning of the Passion Week. It is that day where Jesus officially presents himself as the Messiah to the nation of Israel. And Palm Sunday gets its name, as Brother Frank read earlier, because as Jesus rode into town, the Bible tells of how the people took palm branches and cut them down and waved them to welcome him as Jesus showed up that day. And the people that we see here welcoming Jesus, this crowd that is welcoming this parade, really is an excited and frenzied bunch. They were ready for someone important. They were ready for royalty. And I'm going to tell you, there is no one and nothing better to get excited about than Jesus. You know, we get excited about a lot of things. Right now, March Madness is going on, and there are a lot of men who are excited about things. And you know what? A lot of men will sit and holler and fuss and feud at a TV screen, and we get excited about all sorts of stuff. I know my wife has been preparing for Easter for quite a while, and my household, at least a certain gender of my household, is very excited about Easter clothes. That's a thing, apparently. And there's a lot of things we get excited about in this life. Hey, spring's coming. Wasn't this a beautiful week God gave us this past week? And I'm looking forward to many to come, aren't you? Spring's coming. There's a lot to get excited about. There's a lot to shout about. But I'm going to tell you, there is nothing and no one like Jesus to get excited about. Let's get excited about Jesus, church, because he is here. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is there in the midst. So this morning, King Jesus is not just in Matthew 21. He's here. We're going to praise him or let him pass by. But Jesus rode through, and the Bible says that the whole city was moved. Moved so much so that they asked, who is this? Who is this? And what we find as we break down and unpack Matthew 21 is that though the nation of Israel enjoyed the moment, and although they were moved by the moment, they missed the meaning. They missed the meaning. And so this morning, you and I need to be able to answer this question they could not. You and I need to be able to find the answer that they missed. And so I want to consider that question this morning. Who is this? Let's look together. We'll begin in verse number 1 of this chapter, where the Bible says, and when they drew nigh to Jerusalem, Jesus and his disciples, and to Bethpage, under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say unto you, ye shall say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, a colt, the foal of an ass. Who is this morning, church? Who is this that presents himself to the nation of Israel? We find, first of all, that he is the fulfillment of the Father's promise. He is the fulfillment of the Father's promise. You know, this situation that we see right here in Matthew chapter 21 is a direct fulfillment of a prophecy that was written hundreds and hundreds of years prior in Zechariah 9 and verse number 9, where there the scripture says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Jesus here fulfills the prophecy found in Zechariah 9 and verse number 9. But you know, as you read the Old Testament, this isn't the only prophecy that Jesus fulfilled. No, there are literally hundreds of specific prophecies in the Old Testament about the place Jesus would be born, about things Jesus would do, people that he would meet, ways that he would show himself. It's estimated conservatively, get this now, that Jesus fulfilled at least 300 Old Testament prophecies. Some have calculated almost as many as 600 prophecies. I think one of the coolest ones that Jesus fulfilled, he also fulfilled on this day. You go back to Daniel chapter number 9, and the Bible gives us literally a timeline for the exact day that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem. We call it the 70 weeks of Daniel. And to the day that Daniel predicted, to the day Daniel predicted, Jesus rode into Jerusalem and presented himself to the nation of Israel. You know, the reality is this morning, as we hold the word of God in our hands, that all of the scripture points to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of the Father's promise. All scripture points to him. Jesus said of himself in John chapter 5 in verse number 39, he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which," what, church? "Testify of me." You know, after Jesus rose from the dead, as he walked with those two disciples on the Emmaus Road in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 27, you remember what Jesus did. The Bible says, in beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning who, church? Himself. You know, you can go all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3 and verse number 15. You know, there we find what's referred to by theologians as the proto-evangelium, or the first mention of the gospel. That after man fell, and as God moved to deal with sin, he made this promise, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman," speaking to the serpent, "and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So way back in Genesis, the Lord Jesus Christ is pictured as the seed of the woman. You know, in Exodus, we find him as the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, we find him as our high priest. In Numbers, he's the pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses. In Judges, he's our Joshua, he's the commander of the Lord's army. In Joshua, or in Judges, he is the judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is the seed of David. In Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. You go to the book of Psalms, you'll find that he is your shepherd, your strong tower. You go to Proverbs, and he is our wisdom. Ecclesiastes, he's our meaning for life. In the Song of Solomon, he is our loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, in Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the glorious Lord. In Daniel, he's that fourth man in the fire. In Jonah, he is the risen prophet. In Micah, he is the ruler of the world born in Bethlehem. In Zechariah, he is the branch of David, the one pierced for us. In Malachi, he is the son of righteousness. All throughout the Old Testament, you look at the Old Testament sacrifices, and do you know what they point to? Do you know what they picture? They picture Jesus. You look at the Old Testament feasts and festival days, and do you know who they point to? Do you know who they picture? They picture Jesus. You look at the Old Testament tabernacle and the systems for worship that God set in place, and it's about Jesus. It's about him. He is the fulfillment of the Father's promise. And in the book of Matthew, he's portrayed as King of the Jews. In Mark, he is the suffering servant. In Luke, he is the Son of Man. In John, he is the Son of God. In Acts, he is the risen Savior of the world. In Galatians, he's our liberty. And in Ephesians, he is the head of the church. In Philippians, he's our joy. In Colossians, we've seen it, he is our completeness, for we are complete in him. In Jude, he is the foundation of our faith, our security, and in Revelation, he is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. Who is this? He is the fulfillment of the Father's promise. He is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the promised one. He was everything Israel had waited for. He was everything Israel needed. And he, the fulfillment of the Father's promise, he came right on time. And he came right on target. The Bible reminds us in Galatians 4 in verse number 4 that in the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Right on time and right on target. But you know, church, the multitude missed it. The multitude missed it. Even the disciples missed it. You know, when they were looking for the Messiah, they were looking for a deliverer, yes. But they were looking for someone to deliver them from Rome. When what they really needed was someone to deliver them from sin. They were looking for freedom from hurt. They were looking for freedom from heathens. When what they needed was somebody to give them freedom from hell. I'm going to tell you, Jesus was right on time. And Jesus was right on target. As the fulfillment of the Father's promise, He is just that. He is on time and He is on target. And church, you and I can't afford to miss the meaning. Amen. That Jesus Christ, He is the fulfillment of God's promises, of God's plans, of God's purposes in our life. That you are complete in Him. That we as a church are complete in Him. He is the fulfillment of the Father's promise. I don't know what you're looking for this morning. I don't know what you want or think you need. But I know what God has provided, and He is enough. He is enough. Who is this, church? Who is this? Who is this? He is, say it with me, the fulfillment of the Father's promise. I want you to see what else the Scriptures have to say tomorrow. Let's pick back up in verse number 6. The Bible says, and the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him, Jesus, thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So as Jesus here enters Jerusalem, the people lined the streets. And the Bible says that they spread their garments in the way and they waved their palm branches as Jesus passed by. Now, both of these are significant because, hear me, as they spread their cloaks in the way, this wasn't just a nice gesture like a man laying his coat over a water puddle for a lady. No, this was deeply symbolic that they were literally presenting themselves at the feet of Jesus. It was a picture of surrender, of submission, of servitude. The palm branches signified victory and joy. When you look at Matthew chapter 21, you know, we're not as familiar with words like Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, but I'm going to tell you, you think that our song service was happening a little while ago, I'm going to tell you, this praise service was happening. I mean, this was something special. This was an uproar unlike the city had seen in ages. The Bible says so much so that the entire city was moved. As they cried out, Hosanna, which means save now, save us now. They cried to the Son of David, recognizing him as the heir to the throne of Israel. So he is presented and lauded, the high and holy one. Who is this? Well, not only is he the fulfillment of the Father's promise, but he is the focus of faithful praise. He is the focus of faithful praise. He is the high and holy one. I'm going to tell you, church, make no mistake about it. Jesus is the sovereign God of all creation. He is the sovereign God of all creation. Psalm 135, beginning in verse number 5, the Bible says, For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that he did in heaven and in earth, and in the seas, and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasures. He is the sovereign God of all creation. Hallelujah. There is none, nor has there ever been one like our God. I'm going to tell you, as he walked this earth, it was nothing for him to take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000. It was nothing to him to step out on that boat and say, "Peace, be still," and the winds and the waves obey him. It was nothing to him to march up to Lazarus's tomb and say, "Lazarus, come forth," and the grave loosed its grip on that one. It was no great feat for him because he spoke it all into existence to begin with. The Gospel of John reminds us in John 1 in verse number 3 that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And church, make no mistake about it. Jesus is the High and the Holy One, and he will forever be sovereign God, the focus of great praise. You know, one of the scenes I look forward to in eternity to come, one of the things that I long to be a part of one day, one of my favorite passages from the book of Revelation comes in chapter number 5, verses 11 through 14. The Bible reminds us, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, and saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy. Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature, hear me, which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the 4 beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the High and Holy Sovereign God of all creation. But we also see here that the High and Holy One humbled himself. Church, don't ever get over that fact. That the High and Holy One humbled himself. He was born of a lowly virgin. The Bible says he took on flesh, Philippians 2 in verse number 7, that he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He entered into our world and he lived a life of 33 some years, and he lived a perfect life, building to this very week where the High and Holy God would humbly present himself on a donkey as Christ, as the King, the High and Holy One, the one who humbled himself. Who is this? It's Jesus the King. It's Jesus the King. All hail King Jesus. I'm going to tell you, sadly, on that day, much of what Jesus received, much of what King Jesus received, was lip service. But I'm going to tell you, King Jesus is worthy of more than just lip service. He is worthy of all our praise. I'm going to tell you something about his praise. His praise cannot be silenced. You go to a parallel passage of this, and the Bible talks about in the Gospel of Luke about how the kids were crying out and praising him. And the religious leaders did not like that. No, 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 no. They said, they told Jesus, "Make them be quiet." And you see Jesus' response in Luke chapter 19, I believe in verse number 40, where the Bible says, "And he answered and said unto them, that I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Amen. His praise cannot be silenced. The Bible says in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Men have tried to silence his praise, and yet his praise has risen from prison walls. His praise has risen from execution halls. His praise has even risen from the midst of the flames. His praise has flowed from churches, it's flowed in streets, it's flowed in homes, and it's flowed from hearts. And this morning, let's let King Jesus' praise flow from us. He is worthy. Amen. He is worthy. Amen. Who is this? He is the focus of faithful praise. And a lot of times, this is where we stop. A lot of times, this is where we stop the story. This is not where the story stops. I want you to jump down, if you would, to verse number 12. The Bible says this, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changer and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Verse number 14, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." You know, Jesus isn't done yet. He's the fulfillment of the Father's promise. He is the Christ. He is the focus of faithful praise. He is the King. But Jesus isn't done yet. The Bible says that Jesus gets off the donkey and he goes to work. That he marches into the temple of God and he begins to clear out the merchants and the money changers from the temple. Now that's a really nice packaged way to put that. I mean, he flat ran them out of town. You got to understand, this is a sprawling complex. You have to understand, for Passover, there are millions of people. You go clear out a flea market. Jesus got off the donkey and took care of business. Now, this was important for a number of reasons. Number one, they were a dishonest bunch, taking advantage of the Passover to make money. So many issues here, issues with them pocketing money, issues with the place of the market. You know, historically, we understand that the place of the market is what we call the outer court of the temple. And this was the place that God had ordained that anyone, regardless of nationality, could come and worship him. And yet it was here that the religious leaders had set up shop, and they set up shop to keep people out. Can I tell you something about Jesus? He's all about bringing people in. Who is this? He's the fulfillment of the Father's promise. He is the focus of faithful praise. But hallelujah, he is also the friend of fallen people. He is the friend of fallen people. And so King Jesus cleared them out. He removed barriers that others might come in. But I'm going to tell you, the craziest thing about this passage isn't the fact that Jesus cleared out the flea market. That's impressive. But I'm going to tell you, the craziest thing about this passage we find in verse number 14, where the Bible says, "And the blind and the lame came to him." What are those next three words, church? "And the blind and the lame came to him," church. "And he healed them." You know, the craziest thing is what happened after Jesus cleaned house. The Bible says that the blind and the lame came to Jesus in the temple. That's crazy, because the blind and the lame were never allowed in. Never. Not by Old Testament law or regulation, not by code, not by the blind and the lame, those who had deformity, those who were unclean, those who were undone, were not allowed in. You know, this is why you go to Acts chapter 3 and you remember Peter and John and Peter, and the lame man outside of the beautiful gate, because that's as far as they could go. They could go to the beautiful gate and they could ask money of people who were going in, but according to the law, according to the customs, they were never allowed to go in themselves. They were not worthy. I want you to see, look at verse 14 one more time. The Bible says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Can I tell you what happened here? They were not worthy. They were not. Not by any standard, not by any measure, not by any metric. They had no business being there. And yet Jesus received them and made them worthy. Amen. He made them worthy. And that's what my Jesus does. He is the friend of fallen people, removing barriers, inviting those who in and of themselves have no business being there in the first place. He is Jesus the Christ. He is Jesus the King. And can I tell you how all this is possible? Because by the end of this week, he would be Jesus the crucified. He would be Jesus who hung on the cross and bore my sin. Jesus who hung on the cross and bore my shame, whose royal blood spilt on that old rugged cross. And for fallen people like you and I, who have fallen and come short of the glory of God, who have no business being in the presence of the King, much less being in the family of the King, the blood of Jesus Christ makes all the difference. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 13, don't look past these verses, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Colossians 1 and verse number 13 and 14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Look at this, church, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend to fallen people, merciful to bind up the brokenhearted. And though we are unworthy, and we are unworthy, when we turn to him in faith, he receives us and makes us worthy. Revelation 1, beginning in verse number 5, the scripture says this, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He didn't just wash us. He made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to tell you, church, the question of the hour is, who is this? And it's a question that requires an answer. It's a question that requires a decision. The nation of Israel was moved, but they missed it. Look at verses 10 and 11. The Bible says of Matthew 21 again, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. They were moved, but they missed it, because Jesus was more than just a prophet. He was more than just a miracle worker. He was more than just a teacher. They missed it, but you don't have to. You don't have to. Who is this? He's the fulfillment of the Father's promise. He is the Christ. He is the Christ. Who is this? He is the focus of our faithful praise. He is the King. Who is this? He's a friend of fallen people. He is the crucified one, the way maker, when there was no other way. And so I ask today, church, who is this? Who is this to you? Is he your Savior? Has there ever been a point in time in your life when you, by faith, have turned from your sin to the Savior? Ever been a time in your life where you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work on your behalf? Has there ever been that time where you have received the Son? I'm going to tell you, if you don't know him as Savior, you can answer this question even today. Who is this? You can answer it before you leave. He's my Savior. Would you come to him today?